You guys ready? We've already had church. I'm already hoarse. Did you say Mr. Ed? I heard, I got it. I just had to confirm. Did you walk back in there just for that? Showing your age there, John. Oh, man. It's so good to see all of you today. The presence of God is already very strong and evident in this house. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us today. Aren't you thankful for his presence, Lifehouse? Yeah, amen. Thank you for this water, Max. Everybody give Max a hand. Thanks, bro. It'll be a little bit before I get there, but it'll give me time to drink this water to tell you now. Go ahead and flip to Genesis chapter 12 for me. Maybe I should have just had you hand me that. Before we get into the message today, I just want to say, well, I feel like I'll be in trouble here because there's so many people are celebrating birthdays today. Our esteemed keyboard player. Leonardo da Vinci Mena. Yeah. Anita Aldi Kirkland. Where's Joe? Is Joe here? Oh, he's in the restroom. It's Joe Wooden's birthday. Yeah. Yeah. And I love all you guys. Y'all are all great. But there's one, I hope I didn't miss anybody, but I'm sorry. But there's one person in the room, yeah, there you go, who I'm just a little bit more fond of than all of y'all. Sorry, Lenny, I know that hurts deep. Yeah, right? But it is my beautiful wife's. Kristen, would you stand? Yeah. It's her birthday. She finally joined me in the 40 Club. Yeah. I asked her this morning, I said, do you feel older today? She says, well, I feel old today. When the alarm goes off on Sunday morning, I got a lot to do. Does that count? And I was like, it counts. But so before you leave today, find somebody, tell them happy birthday. Chances are it's probably their birthday. Valentine's Day was how many months ago? Okay, sorry. I'll move on. Today at Lifehouse is Vision Sunday. All right, I'm going to try again. I'm going to need you. Listen, I'll be real with you guys. I need a lot. Do we need to turn all the lights on so we can get the energy up a little higher in here? Do we need to do that? Ashley, are you going to take a nap? Okay, are you going to hoop and holler when I say today's vision? Well, hold your horses now. Today is Vision Sunday at Lifehouse Church. There we go. That's better. And we have a special gift for everybody in the house celebrating today. If we could get some our volunteers to help us hand out our special gifts. How many of you like free stuff? We got free stuff for you today. All right. As you may notice, we gave our Lifehouse Church logo a little bit of a redesign, a little makeover, that's what we'll call it, a little makeover. So over the next few weeks, you'll start seeing everything change on the logo, on how that looks. You'll see it in some of the stuff that you're getting today. Also included in this gift for everyone is a book on fasting, and the reason why that is there is because in January we're going to once again enter into 21 days of prayer and fasting. Yeah. And we want to give you every tool and resource we can to help you prepare for that. I'm going to give my mic to the wife because she's up here. I don't know
Yeah, I just want to tell you about a few things. So in your bag, you have a sticker that is like a tan background with a white. That is like a car decal. So that's, you're going to peel the front off and the white should stay on. And then you put that on and then you peel the clear off. I just want to give a little instruction about that. That's what that is. And then, yeah. And then you also have a smaller blue sticker that is like a water bottle or notebook or whatever, but it is waterproof. You put on a water bottle. And then lastly, you have a bracelet in there. That bracelet is, I don't know what size it is, but there are some larger sizes at check-in. So if it's cutting your circulation off, please don't wear it and exchange it for one that might fit. Okay. Also, Kids House is getting goodies and treats today as well with some of this swag. So don't feel like you have to grab one for your kid. They're getting their own.
Awesome. Do you want to preach today? You sure? Could be my birthday gift to you. That is so funny sounding, those little bags rattling. Now they're louder. Wonder why. Yeah, I know. Well, I hope you guys like your presents. You're so welcome. Does anybody else need one? Anybody missing out? Raise your hand for us. One to go. That's so funny. Love it. Love it. I'm going to give everything a moment to calm down. We're going to be in Genesis 12 today for today's message. When you get settled and you get your phone app or your Bible open to Genesis chapter 12, I want to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word this morning. No rush, but we're waiting on you. I'm standing up either way, you know, so it's all good. It's all good. All right. You guys ready? I said, are you ready? The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. How many of you would appreciate it if Apple Maps or Google Maps talked to you like that? Like, just go, and I'll let you know. One time, I kid you not, me and Kristen, we were using an old school GPS. Kids, these things weren't even connected to our phones. It was an old Garmin, and yeah. And we were on some back roads trying to get to a friend's house, and it literally, we were in the middle of a dirt road, and it said out loud to us, get out of your car and walk. Yeah. And we were in the middle of a cow pasture. Anyway, I feel like Abraham probably felt the same way at this point. Go to the land that I will show you. He says, I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran. And he headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, verse 6, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. Come on, that's a fun city. Shechem. There he set up a camp beside the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and he said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar. He built an altar there and he dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. Just a couple more verses. After that, Abram traveled south and he set up camp in the hill country. Now, it's interesting. Abram is traveling and he goes somewhere and then God appears to him. It's a breadcrumb of God's presence. Does that make sense? Where was I? Okay, let's just start with verse 8 again. After that, Abram traveled south and he set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. That's another good one. Ai. There, he built another altar, and he dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages. Stages. It's interesting. Towards the Negev. Now, the Negev is a wilderness area in the southern part of Israel. So he's continuing to travel south. I want you to know, Lifehouse, that we serve a God who is constantly moving his people forward in faith. There is no point in your life, as long as there's breath in your body, where God is going to say to you, hey, I think my plan for you is finished. It is complete. Just take it easy from now on. I love Bill Marshall. Bill, you 81? 82? 82. I'd get there eventually. 82 years old, Bill Marshall, serving at Bible quiz yesterday. I was talking to him this morning, and he said, I love it. I love being there. I love seeing the kids. And he says, and I learned stuff. My God, my heart just about exploded with joy. And you know why? Because Bill knows that God ain't done with him yet. At 82, God's not done with him yet. How old are you, Noel? 16. God's just getting started with you, isn't he? Yeah, the answer's yes. Denora. God is always moving us forward in faith. From glory to glory, the psalmist says, from promise to promise, from one stage to the next. When we open up the Bible, we don't just find stories about faith. We find stories about a God who is always faithful, who is always calling, who is always blessing, and who is always building a people who belong to him. God is not a part of our story, though. And here's where we often miss the mark when we talk about our life and we talk about our relationship with God. I want you to hear me right on the forefront today. God is not part of your story. God is bigger than your story. You are part of his story. You're part of God's story. In this message, I'm going to talk about vision. I'm going to cast some lofty vision today. I'm going to be real with you. When I with my physical eyes look and think with my physical brain about how all of the things that I'm about to share with you could come into fruition, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm going to share it with you because I believe that when God is part of the equation, logic just has to take a back seat. And that is true for his church, but it's also true for your life. So I'm going to preach vision today, and here's my prayer. I want you to catch on to the vision for Lifehouse Church, but I want God to birth a vision for you who is part of his plan and part of his church. This message is not just about Lifehouse Church or what their future holds or a new building one day when. It is about God and his mission and his story that begins all the way in Genesis chapter 1 to fill the earth with his glory and his people. Are you guys ready to move forward in faith? Come on, I said, are you ready to move forward in faith today? Can we just hold our hands like this open before the Lord? God, today we do not bring anything to the table except an empty vessel, open hearts and open minds, God, ready to receive and be filled with all that you have for us and all that you want to do in us. God, today, Lord, let our agenda be set aside and let our hearts and our attention be set solely on you, that you would speak to us in this place and that we would receive in the name of Jesus all that you have for us. In the strong name of the Son of God, we pray, and all of Lifehouse said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise as you're being seated. Ooh. That was a good timing. I hear the bags again. Yeah, that's right. I love it. Is it the bags or is it the paper of the Bible? Oh, never mind. It's the bag. Yeah. Oh, there's candy in there? I didn't get any. All right. I'm gonna give you a flyover of some big portions of Scripture as best as I can. Is that okay with you guys? God has always desired a people. He's always desired a people who are His. Another way you could say this is God wants a family. How many of you like being part of a family? Be careful. I don't know. So that was a dangerous question. I should have thought that through before I said that out loud. I have. I like being part of a family. I love our family. I love that. And I also love being part of this family. This is a family too. This is the family of God, right? And I'll tell you this, for some of us, kingdom blood is thicker than family blood. Right? Come on, say amen to that. From the very beginning, God's heart was to have a family. Going back all the way to Genesis chapter 1, he says this in verse 26. God said, let us make man, or let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And right then and there is the essence of of human existence. It is the purpose of why you're on this planet. It is to image or to represent, be a representative of God on this earth. That's why a few moments ago when we prayed and we took authority in the Spirit, we weren't just simply asking God to do something for us. We were acting on behalf of God in the sense that we are filled with the Spirit of God, created in the image of God, and also through Jesus, according to Matthew 28, have been given the delegated authority from God to take authority over principalities and powers of darkness. God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. I love the King James right there. It says, all the creepy things that creepeth upon the creepy earth. It's a paraphrase. A lot of creeps in Genesis 1 and King James. Verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Did you say, come on? Yeah, it's loud. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it and reign. Look at your neighbor and say, reign. That's the second time in this passage that we have seen the word reign. Rain, and it's not like rain, it's that word. I don't, with the E before I, which English is confusing. Rain over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that creep along the creepy ground, that scurry along the earth. Here's what's interesting. God created you for relationship. We've already established that. But he also created you for rulership. And that has to be known and accepted as children of God. He has created us for relationship, but he's also created us for rulership. He created humanity to walk with him as well as to work with him, to represent heaven on earth. And here's the thing about reigning with and for God. Dominion is not about domination. It is about stewardship. Does that make sense? When I talk about that God has called us to reign with him, we're not talking about an evil dictator type thing. We're talking about in the name of Jesus, we have been called to infiltrate this earth with the authority given to us by Jesus, with the love of Jesus and the goodness of Jesus and the presence of God. Come on, say amen to that. And from that thought process, Adam and Eve are the very first kingdom builders. Hold on to that two-word phrase there. But then, look at your neighbor and say, but then in Genesis chapter 3, sin enters into God's good creation. The image was fractured. The mission gets foggy. Humanity has fallen, but God's purpose still remains. God did not just burn everything up and say, I'm going to go ahead and start over. Even after Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve were sent out of Eden, God was already planning a way back. In verse 15, he promises that one day there is going to be a child who will be the seed of Eve who will crush the serpent's head. And that right there is where the story of redemption, as far as we know it, begins. The mission of God did not start with the church. The mission of God started with creation. And then in Genesis 6, are you guys good? I'm telling you just to fly over right here. Some of this I've shared before. Some of it I've probably shared before, but in a different way. In Genesis 6, does anybody know what happens in Genesis chapter 6? God starts building a boat, and then a bunch of water falls. There's a flood, right? The world has taken a turn for the worse. There's violence, there's corruption, there's rebellion. And let me just tell you, like, there's a whole lot that's happening here in the spirit world as well that you don't get the full grasp of if you just read those few verses and don't really dig into what is all being said. And honestly, it's quite intriguing. I don't have time to go into that today, but maybe one day we could talk about the unseen world of the Bible. That would be a lot of fun, would it not? It would be. So we got violence, we got corruption, we got rebellion from humans as well as other beings trying to rule God's good creation, but without God's will and goodness. But God preserved a remnant, and that's a key word all the way through Scripture. The word remnant. There's always a remnant of somebody or some groups of people that God has placed his spirit in who is staying true to what God has called them to do. In Genesis 9:1, God tells Noah and his sons, he told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That sounds a lot like what God told Adam and Eve in Genesis, right? And the reason why is the command is repeating itself, but the plan itself has not changed. Go into all creation and take what I've given you and give it to them. We could fast forward all the way. No, I can't do that yet to Matthew 28, but I can't do that yet. Genesis 11, there's a big old tower getting built. Anybody know what that tower is called? Yeah, Tower of Babel. And here is proof that even after the flood and even after humans begin to flourish again, they are still, forgive the terminology, hell-bent on turning their back on the Lord. And they say in Genesis chapter 11, let us build a name for ourselves. Not for the Lord, but for ourselves. And here is the problem. That is human nature. Human nature wants to build a monument, not an altar. Human nature wants to build something that will be a name for themselves, but not a name for the Lord. But God steps in through all of this, and a lot of things are happening. Again, it's very interesting once you start diving into the deep theological aspects of it. But what God begins to do is he calls one man, one family to start over again, a man named Abram. We're just going to call him Abraham because eventually God is going to change his name to Abraham. And if I try to switch between Abram and Abraham, I'll get confused. So Abraham, Father Abraham. And many sons had Father Abraham, and so are you. So let's just pray. Okay, we're done. That's enough. But the reason why we sing that song, and it's fun and, you know, right, all the things like that, is because Abraham is the father of our faith in the sense of he is the one that God called and set apart from all the other people who were worshiping pagan gods. Out of Mesopotamia, God calls him. And he says, go to this land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. And through you, here's a key statement. Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Because it was never God's will to do away with all these other people. It was always God's will to add these other people to the family of God. Come on, say amen. He says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And this blessing was not just for Abraham, but we learn in Galatians that this blessing ultimately came through Jesus, who was the fulfillment of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And here's what's cool about when God calls Abraham. Abraham did not get a map, but he did get a mission. He didn't get a map, but he did get a mission. God said, go where I'm going to show you. God didn't tell him where he was going to go, but God did tell him who was going to go with him. Oh, don't show that yet. Wait up. Hold up. He says, I will bless you to be a blessing. Abraham starts following the Lord, and he travels to Shechem, he travels to Ai, he travels toward the Negev, and the Bible tells us over and over again that God, or rather Abraham, follows God by stages. And I love, that really speaks to me, because that's how it feels in my life. I wish God would just give me, like, he would just download, like, maybe send me a text. An Apple note. You know, just something, an email, whatever. And says, all right, Drew, you're 40 years old. Here's the plan. Here's where I got you at 43. Here's where I got you at 45. And this is what you need to be looking for. Anybody in the room be like, you know what, I can get on board with that. Yeah. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. He has no history of doing that. God, we want the plan. God just gives the step, right? He didn't arrive overnight. He traveled by stages. Each stop, he makes an altar. He doesn't build a monument. He builds an altar marking God's faithfulness, because faith, when you follow, you know, what does the Bible tell us? The Bible, I believe it's in one of the Corinthian letters, we walk by faith, not by sight. And the thing about walking or living by faith, not by sight, is that you're only able to do so one step at a time. It's kind of like walking through a house when all the lights are off. Maybe the electricity is going out. Maybe you're getting home late after a dinner somewhere and all the lights are off and you're walking in and you know, something, you know, you're looking for the light switch. Nobody in their right mind, at least, is going to take off running through a dark house to get to the other side of it, right? That is a recipe for stubbed toes and the temptation to say bad words. And sometimes the temptation, anyway. Now, what do you do when you can't see where you're going? You go one step at a time. And honestly, while we trust that God's plan is always good and he's always faithful and he's always got a plan, in his love, not in his, like, he's not withholding it from us because he's mean or bad, but honestly, I think a lot of times God withholds the fullness of his plan for us because if he knows that he revealed it all to us, it would blow our minds. And for some of us, we would see things, oh, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to go through that. I don't want to face that trial. I don't want to face that difficulty. So instead of listening to what God's called me to do, I'm going to go this other way so I can avoid this hardship. But see, the thing is that God doesn't allow these hard times to come into your life because he's not good. He allows these hard times to come into your life because he's not just worried about what he's doing for you, he's most ultimately worried about what he's doing in you. And the only way that we can truly grow and become the men and the women that God has made us in his divine image to be is to go through things where we have to face resistance, and we get stronger and we get better and we grow in faith because we start to realize, God, I can't do this without you. I can't face this without you. And so then our faith grows because instead of depending on what we can do, we start depending more and more on what he can do. You see, God's plan is always good, even when the season or the situation or the circumstances are not good. And Abraham is just following one step, one stage, one moment at a time. And everywhere he gets and he rests for a while, he builds an altar to thank God for bringing me this far. Lifehouse, we've been traveling by stages for a while. And we're going to keep traveling by stages for a while. I want to talk to us as a church. And then I want to talk to us as individuals for a moment. We don't have the full picture of what God wants to do. I have a dream that I want to share with you. I have a vision that I want to share with you. But the truth is, like the hard truth is, I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I don't know how it's going to look in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But I do know that there is a step in front of us that we can take. But, look at your neighbor and say, but. Before we talk about what we want God to do and what we believe that God is going to do, we got to look back and thank God for what he has. And we got to build an altar. Because gratitude fuels faith. Gratitude fuels faith. So before we look back, before we look ahead, let's stop and look back and let's build an altar. Just a little over a year ago, we moved into this building. Praise God, we had a building to move into. And if you're relatively new to Lifehouse, you just may think that that building out there is a lawn ornament. And that is about all it is right now. and some storage for things that we're okay if they get messed up. But about a year ago, we discovered that the roof was failing in that building, and praise God, we had this building, and so we decided to move into this building. We made the entire move in about 48 to 72 hours. We had our first Sunday service last October in here, and God has been continuing to bless us ever since then. I'm so thankful for his, and a lot of people are like, man, was that so hard? And yeah, there was a lot of difficulty about it. But the whole time that we were making the transition to over here, and even when this building, we didn't have this nice pipe and drape. We didn't have these nice new chairs. I'll talk about that in a second. We didn't even have a stage. The people in the back couldn't even see the top of my head and all the things, right? The whole time, though, people are like, man, is that tough? And it was tough. But the thing that kept me encouraged was, thank God we had a gym to move into that, you know, 25, 30 years ago, men and women helped fund and build this gym so that we could have this. And they didn't even know that one day it would be used for this, but the Lord did. The Lord did. So we moved into this gym. Since we moved in, we plan for the entire year, we had three big goals. And that was to get air conditioning in here, or HVAC in here. You can see the four units hanging from the ceiling right there. The other was to get a new roof. And then the other was to get new chairs, because we had these old chairs. And honestly, we didn't even have enough of them. And the lights were a lot brighter in here, so you could kind of see. You know, speaking of the word remnant, you could kind of see stuff. And you're like, man, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to sit there. And that was my heart and hope for the year. But essentially by March, we had paid for all of it. Praise God for that. We paid cash for, and now granted, the chairs took their sweet time getting here. But aren't they nice? Say they're nice. They're nice. Corey, go sit in a chair and tell me how much you like it. I'm just kidding. You said it. Hey, also, by the way, you know, I say that, you know, I make fun of the old chairs, but they still had some life in them. Did you know that last week, there's a church that we've worked with that's helped deliver food to our church two times now? So last week when we did our food giveaway, we were able to give away 100 turkeys and almost 200 things of food to 200, yeah. And it's a church in Middle Tennessee that is able to get that to us. Well, when we unloaded the truck of food, we were able to load all of those chairs into their truck, because for them, like, this was an upgrade for us. Those chairs were a huge, listen, the man was loading, I'll get teary-eyed thinking about, the man was loading those chairs in the back of the truck, and he joked, he said, people aren't going to ever want to leave our church because these chairs are so comfortable to sit in. So when you give to help buy new chairs, not only did you provide chairs for our church, you actually provided chairs for this other church in Middle Tennessee. Praise God. We can look back over the last year, and we've seen these altars filled so many times with people getting saved, people being filled with the Holy Spirit, people being delivered from demonic oppression. We've seen this baptismal get filled up almost every month with somebody coming, going public with their faith in Jesus Christ as they are water baptized. Come on, praise God for that. Every single month, we are able to support about 30 to 40 missionaries all the way from the University of Tennessee to Cambodia in Southeast Asia because you give. Our food ministry, I've already referenced it. You know, we fed nearly 200 people last week, gave 100 turkeys away, and I'm believing God that that's going to increase, and we're going to continue to do more of those kinds of things at Lifehouse, and we're going to be a beacon of hope in this community and so much more, and we're going to continue to see people saved. We're going to continue to see people healed and delivered and set free. We're going to continue to see people receive the Holy Spirit baptism. We're going to continue to see people get water baptized. It's going to be amazing, and I believe all of that. Come on, do you believe that with me? I can think back to 8 years ago when the Lord, in his goodness, brought me and my family to Pastor Lifehouse. One of the first things I wanted to do was have a cookout for the church. I didn't even live in Oak Ridge at the time. I was still driving an hour every day, every week to come to Oak Ridge. And I wanted to have a cookout just for us to fellowship. And the cheapest grill that would be big enough to serve our needs at the time was $300. And it was cheap. And I don't mean like money. I mean like it was cheap. It was basically made out of aluminum foil. But I found this grill, and I had to wait 2 weeks before we had the money to order it. I remember about a year and a half after that, one of the air conditioners went out that cooled our sanctuary. And for about 6 months until it got cool again, we just limped by. And I would I would come up here at about 8 o'clock on Saturday night, and I would turn the air down as low as it would let me get it to go. And then we would walk in on Sunday mornings, and it would be frigid in there. But within just a couple of hours, because that air conditioner had been running all night, and it was only one, and it really needed 3 units, and we only had one at the time. By, 10:30, it was hot. And I remember the next summer, as summer got there, I got a quote that we could get a new air conditioner for $6,500 installed. And I thought, man, I don't know how we're gonna do this. But the Lord provided. And for $6,500, we were able to get a new air conditioner. Just about a month ago, wasn't it, Wendy, when they replaced these, fixed these, the unit that heats and cools up here where our kids are and down here, both of the heating parts were messed up. Don't ask me what it was. I don't know. I'm not smart in that world. But they were messed up. And they said, $7,000? $7,000 to fix it. I didn't even have to blink an eye. I said, okay, fix it. Which is a testimony to God's immense goodness over the years. It's also a testimony to your faithfulness and your love for the Lord and your love for the house of God. I'm so thankful for this church. We've traveled by stages for many years now. Some of those stages were a lot of fun. Some of those stages were very scary. Some of those stages were heartbreaking. But God has been faithful through every stage. And I believe we're going to continue moving forward in faith to the next stage. You see, we look back with thankfulness, but we also look ahead with expectation. Because, and I'm kind of giving a little spoiler alert here, I don't think this is that much of new news. But when we talk about building a building, we're not planning to build a building for the sake of a building or just to have nicer things. We want to build so that our kingdom impact in Oak Ridge can continue to grow. Because when we talk about building a new building, we're talking about a space where God can invade East Tennessee as it is in heaven. We're talking about rooms, so many rooms for discipleship and kids and youth and Lifehouse Academy to grow and to host Bible quiz meets here. We're talking about a sanctuary that is designed on purpose to be a sanctuary where the presence of God is going to fill that room just as he's filling this room, and men and women and families are going to encounter the life-changing goodness of Jesus. We're talking about a space to be a beacon of hope and a place of help in Oak Ridge. Building or reaching people is the real goal of building buildings, not because we're not trying to build a monument. We want to build an altar. We want to build a place of worship to the Lord God Almighty. And I'm believing that what is going to start in Oak Ridge, and listen, here's where I really got to put on my faith boots. They're faith boots today. This is where I really got to put on my faith glasses, my faith vision, because I'm believing that what God is going to start here, and what God has already started here in Jesus' name, right? What God has already started here in Oak Ridge at Lifehouse Church is going to be something that spreads throughout the entirety of the 865 area code. And I just want to put this out here today. This is the part of the sermon where I'm like saying this, and I hope you really believe that I believe this, because in my heart of hearts I do, but then my brain gets in the way and I'm like, whoo, man, that's a lot. That's a big deal, Drew. You really think that? And then I open this back up and I start reading these stories and I'm like, well, bless God, if he can do it there, why can't he do it here? I'm nobody special, but he's a special God. He's a good God. And so I want to introduce to you this vision, this thought. I'm just going to simply call it, at least for now, Project 865. I know. You don't even know. You're like, what does that even mean? That is the 865 area code in East Tennessee. This area, specifically, you know, from Powell to Maryville to Farragut, around Knoxville to Oak Ridge, over the next 10 years, is predicted to be one of the fastest growing areas in the country. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's God opening the door for churches, not just Lifehouse, but all churches in our community, saying, hey, you don't have to go to them. I'm going to bring them to you. I'm going to bring them to you. Some of you, God's already brought you here. And some of you, God's done a great work in your life since you've been here. And some of you, that's also happened. But then you've also been plugging in and being a great worker at Lifehouse. Praise God for that. And I know the joke is, hey, Tennessee's close. And listen, I understand the roads are getting crowded and trapped. But here's what I will say. God, you've already told us in your word that the fields are ready for harvest. The problem is not that the harvest is few. The problem is that the workers are few. And God, you're bringing the harvest to us. God, help us. Help us be the workers that you need to dream dreams, to have a vision, to live with faithful obedience to the call of God because here's the thing, this church, if it only exists for the benefit of the members, it is not a church, it is a country club. We might as well build a golf course instead of a sanctuary. Yeah, you would. And I wouldn't hate it either. Maybe it's a both and, I don't know. Maybe that's an evangelistic tool that we can have. While we're at it, let's just get some boats too. But I'm believing God. I'm 40 years old. And listen, this vision is not dependent on me. This is going to sound a little morbid, and I hope it don't come across that way, but if I die or if I move or if God has some other plans for me, I'm just for the record, for now, as far as I can know, my life, my heart, my everything is right here. I just need you to know that. I have no, Lifehouse for me has never been a stepping stone. It has never been a something to get me to somewhere else I want to be. I'm here. But I'm just saying, if the Lord does seem in his plan seem to move me or kill me, I don't know. Take me. That's a better word, right? Take me? Yeah, thank you. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know. This isn't about Drew Moorhead. This is about what does God want to do in East Tennessee through Lifehouse Church. And I'm believing in Jesus' name. And this is taken, I'm telling you, this is a faith. What I'm about to say publicly scares the snot out of me. But I'm believing in 25 years that there's going to be a Lifehouse Church or a church that is there because of Lifehouse Church in all of these communities in the 865 area code. And you might say, praise God. You might say, man, 25 years is a long time. I ain't got that much time left or whatever. And I hear you and I understand. I would just like to remind you that I thought it would take us a year to get chairs, a roof, and air conditioning, and it happened in 3 months. I don't know. I don't know what God's timeline or timetable is, but I do know that in Oak Ridge, in Knoxville, in Kingston, in Harriman, in Oliver Springs, in Maryville, in Alcoa, in Lenore City, in Loudoun, in Clinton, Farragut, Powell, Halls, Carnes, Hardin Valley, Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, and so many other communities that God wants wants his presence known in that place. And I believe that he has given us a divine mandate to do what we can do now to be the people of God, that over the next 2 decades, there is a life-giving, spirit-filled, Bible-preaching, evangelistic-minded, people-loving church in those communities. Come on, say amen with me. But it all starts today. This is the beginning of the next stage. This is the beginning of the new stage. November 16th, 2025, my wife's 40th birthday. It's easy to remember. But we need a launch site. And I love what we have right now. But man, we're limited in what we can do. We're about to have to go to 2 services, not necessarily because of this space, but because of the incredible impact our Kids House ministry has. You look around and you think, man, we got empty chairs, and we do, but they don't. And God's given us a responsibility to reach the young people, the kids, the children, and the students. And we need to grow. Listen, discipleship is something that we cannot do the way we want to do it because we don't have the space to do it. God's asking us to take the next step in obedience and in faith and in generosity. And that's where forward in faith comes in. We're going to move forward in faith. Heavy emphasis on the word faith. Phase one of our next step. In 2026, we want to start bringing in surveyors and engineers and partner with a church design build firm to create a master plan for this property. And it's going to take approximately $100,000. You might say, oh, that's a lot. I just want to point out, these air conditioners cost $80,000, and we paid for it in 1 month. Just for the record. You see, we need a master plan. We need to know what we can build. In all transparency, we need to know if we can build. I don't know if you're very familiar with the way things work in Oak Ridge, but sometimes it can be a challenge. And listen, here's the thing. If we get to a closed door, praise God that he closed that door, because that just means he has another direction that he wants us to go. It doesn't matter if we can or can't, or what we can or can't do here or there or wherever. What matters is that we're going to walk by faith and we're going to take the next step. Even, you know, we might have thought it was this direction that we were going, but then God says, oh, no, that door's closed. Oh, okay, it's this direction. And that's okay too, because we're not going to be disappointed. We're not going to be distracted, and we're certainly not going to be defeated. We're just going to take a little deeper tour. So we're going to bring in surveyors and engineers and bring this design build firm on board with us, who's going to create a master plan. And we need about $100,000 on the front end before we can really go all in with that. And that is just to create the bare bones of a plan to move forward. And then once we get to phase one, then we're going to step into phase a lot. There's a lot of phases. But my vision at this point, at this juncture, my hope is that we can build at least a 500-seat auditorium, that we're going to have an abundance of classrooms and office space, and we're going to have so many bathrooms, people ain't going to do it themselves. I mean, they're going to be like, you know what? I'm just going to hold it. Yeah, that's right. We're going to have a handicap, accessible entrance, restroom, seating area. We're going to make it easy on people. We're going to be an inviting church, and there'll be people on Sunday morning. They'll be like, you know what, I'm just going to hold it till I get there. That bathroom's so nice. I think some of y'all do that anyway. We're going to remodel this building. We're going to use it for Next Gen Ministry, for Lifehouse Academy to grow. And I believe for a place that we can impact this community in a substantial and powerful way. I think that we're going to look back when we fed, when we gave away 100 turkeys, and we're going to be like, do you remember when we only could do 100 turkeys? Do you remember when we could only handle 200 cars coming through the parking lot on a Saturday? Do you remember, you know, as we're feeding 2,000 people a month, do you remember when we could only feed 200 people every few months? Do you remember? Because here's what I believe, and this is what I know, that if we will start walking by faith, God will start opening up doors of provision. You might be like, okay, Drew, great. How much is this going to cost? Well, the hard and honest truth is I don't know. I like that. It's probably, look at your neighbor and say probably, going to cost between $5 and $10 million. I know. Y'all said it doesn't matter. Now you're like, ooh, maybe it does matter. Maybe it does matter. But if you've read this, if you've lived a little bit of life, if you've been here for the last 8 years, come on, tell them, Carlos, where you at? I heard you. There you are. If you've been here for the last 8 years and you've seen what God has done so far, because I'll be real with you. When they told me it was going to cost $6,000 to fix that air conditioner, it might as well have been $6 million. It was that unattainable at the time. It was that out of the realm of reality. But God did it. And I just believe that if we're talking about the same God who split an entire sea wide open so people could walk through on dry ground, I believe he can build a building in Oak Ridge. If God can feed over 1 million people every single day for 40 years in the desert, he fed and watered them, I believe that he can provide what this church needs. If God can collapse the walls of Jericho, fortified walls, without one weapon of war being lifted, I believe he can make a way even where we see no way to be made. If God can protect a man named Daniel in a den of lions, I believe that he can protect this vision from every attack of the enemy. Because I'll tell you right here and right now, the devil doesn't want this. And it's not about a building. It's about kingdom impact. It's about seeing his kingdom decrease and the kingdom of God increase. I believe if Jesus can walk on water, he can carry this church where our feet cannot yet go. And if God can call a 4-day dead man out of a tomb, he can resurrect dreams in your life that have looked impossible. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? Here's something that's interesting. When Jesus fed the 5,000, it's the only miracle apart from the resurrection that is recorded in all four Gospels. But the miracle didn't happen when the boy gave Jesus the lunch. The miracle happened when the bread was broken and handed out. And as they moved forward, they looked down and they thought, man, I only have two fish. They pick up one of the two fish, they break it, they hand it out, and they go to grab the last fish they have, and they go, wait, I've got more fish. Because that's how God does miracles. He didn't fill the bucket before they started handing it out. He filled the bucket as they were walking forward by faith. Billy, you know that when the people of Israel, when Moses took his staff and he parted the Red Sea, you know the old Charlton Heston movie, the sea parts before they start walking. But in Scripture, the sea does not move until they start putting foot in water. And when they start moving forward in faith, that's when God says, all right, they're moving. Now it's time for me to move. And I'm just believing that as we start moving forward in faith, that God is going to start moving on our behalf. I believe that he is looking for people in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and the 865 community who will say yes to his plan and to his promise and to receive his provision. Co-laborers who will say to the Lord, God, I want to be part of what you're doing on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, if you're with me, can you say amen? Now let me teach for a little bit. Are you inspired or are you intimidated? I go back and forth. It depends on how much sleep I got and if I had steak recently. You know, red meat gets, anyway. Let me teach for a little bit, because we're shifting the way we do giving around here, because we want to make it more streamlined and we want to make it more kingdom focused. Is that okay? So you guys have heard the word tithe. The tithe is not optional. I just need to say this. I know that people have a lot of opinions, but I'm telling you, the tithe is not an option. The tithe belongs to the Lord. You don't pay a tithe. You don't give a tithe. You return a tithe to God. And according to Scripture, a tithe is 10% of your income. And when you give your tithe, that is what sustains. Look at your neighbor and say, sustains. That is what sustains the house. It keeps the church strong. It keeps staff supported. And it keeps ministry happening every single week. The second thing I want to introduce to you, though, is kingdom builders. Say amen if you've already heard me say that phrase a couple of times in the message. Kingdom builders. That is when we give out of the overflow, right? It should be. Next one. Kingdom builders. There it is. Kingdom builders extends the house. Extends the house. And that is when, that is missions, that is benevolence, that is outreach, that is local impact, that is back to life, that's our food ministry, that anything that goes outside of Lifehouse, that is what Kingdom Builders is, because we haven't been called to build monuments, we've been called to build altars, and we haven't been called to build a church, we've been called to build the kingdom. And a lot of churches are adopting this new model, and they have the tithe and kingdom builders, and it works really well for them. But Lifehouse, I believe we're in a season where we need a third bucket. Can you show us the third bucket? This third bucket is our building fund, and our building fund expands the house. This is something that you were giving in faith that one day when we're going to have a new facility with an abundance of classrooms, an amazing sanctuary, and so many bathrooms that people are just going to be stopping all over it and be like, hey, I just want to go to the bathroom here. That's all I just want to go because it's so nice. Am I harping on that too much? The tithe sustains the house. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Please be faithful and obedient in your tithes. When you respond in obedience to the tithe, you open up the door for God to bless you. And I know you've probably heard theology, maybe somebody on TikTok or Instagram that says that. And here, if you want to get your theology from TikTok, that's fine. But I'm telling you, I have been a faithful tither since the day I got saved at 15 years old. And I am living proof that God, I've never gone without. I've gone through seasons of lean times. Obviously, yeah. But I've never been without. And I want to encourage you to be faithful and obedient. I'm not trying to guilt you into that. I'm just telling you, hey, this is what the Bible says. And you should. And if you really want to be super biblical, you might be like, oh, well, the New Testament does away with tithes. You're wrong, but I hear where you're coming from. Actually, what the New Testament says, it says sell everything you have and give it away. So, okay, anyway. So the tithe sustains the house. Kingdom Builders extends the house. And I'm going to talk a lot more about Kingdom Builders going into 2026. And I'm going to ask you next year, and don't get confused with all the things I'm about to say. I'm going to ask you next year to make a monthly commitment to give towards Kingdom Builders. And the heart and the goal is that everything that is given towards Kingdom Builders will go towards a mission or ministry that goes beyond what happens in the church itself. Does that make sense? Come on, help me out. Does that make sense? And then the building fund expands the house. And on December 7th, just a couple of weeks away, we're going to take up a special offering. We're going to call it our Forward in Faith offering on December 7th. And that is going to be an offering that will be a special offering for our building fund specifically. It's going to be our collective faith seed towards what is to come. And like I've told you earlier, our initial goal is to raise $100,000. And every dollar that comes in for that building fund will in some way or another go towards a new building, surveyors, engineers, a master plan. And then beyond that, there's a lot of other things as well. But it'll be specifically marked. We're going to put it in a high earning money market account so that we can access it when we need to access it, but hoping that our money will also make money for us. Can say amen to that. And just so you know, there's already $10,000 in our building fund account because a few weeks ago, Pastor Terry Allen was here. He preached in October, and the Lord spoke to him, and he didn't know what it was. He was sitting right over there where Lenny's at, and he actually was really distracted during the entire worship time. And he didn't know why, but God was just telling him, hey, you've got to make a contribution to this church. And if you were here that day, you remember he gets up and he says, I'm going to give MVP, his organization, we're going to give $10,000 to Lifehouse. And we go to lunch and he says, are you guys planning to build something? I feel like the Lord told me you're going to build something, but you hadn't said anything specifically to me about it. And so I didn't want to say that from the platform because I didn't want to jump the gun and I didn't want to speak out of line. But when God told me to give $10,000, I kept hearing building. And I said, well, here's something funny. You don't know it. And the church doesn't even know it yet. But on November 16th, I'm actually going to preach a sermon about building a new building. I mean, the Lord's in it. So we're already 10% of the way there, and we haven't even taken up the first offering yet. And I want to remind you, we say this every Sunday, we don't give because we have to give, we give because? I'm going to try to get that in your heart. We don't give because we have to give, we give because? We get to give. We get to say, God, you've been so faithful. You've been so good to me. And I want to give back because you've been so generous to me. And so we're also saying that, God, you've been faithful in the last stage, and I'm going to trust you in the next stage. I still got a little bit of sermon left. Are you guys okay? It's almost queso time. Is everybody good? Can I keep going? Jonathan, am I good back there? Are you ready? All right, deal. I want to tell you, Lifehouse, where there is no vision, there is no provision. But I believe in Jesus' name, where there is vision, God makes a way with provision. And I also believe that where there is expectation, there is visitation. And where there is obedience, there is multiplication. So on December 7th, don't skip that day. Be at church. We'll sing some Christmas songs. Don's excited. It's going to be great. He better be. We're going to sing some Christmas songs. We're going to preach some sort of a Christmas message. Pray for me. I don't know what it is yet. And at the end of that service, we're going to take up a special offering. You'll be able to give a one-time gift. You'll also be able to make a pledge that you'll fulfill over the next year if you choose to do it that way. And both will be acceptable. Here's my ask. I'm not going to put amounts in front of you. You already know we need to raise, if we could raise a few million that day, that'd be great. But here's the deal. Like Abraham, we're traveling by stages. Stage one is $100,000. That's what we need to just get the ball metaphorically rolling. And as God provides that money, that's when we'll move. And if that money doesn't come in, hey, we're going to wait. And that's going to be okay. We're just going to trust the Lord. We're not here. One of the worst things you can do is to try to get ahead of God. I don't want to get ahead of God. I want to walk with God. And I want us as Lifehouse Church to walk with God. Is that okay? Say amen. And as I'm shutting this thing down, I just want to remind you that this is not just about Lifehouse. It's also about your house. It's about you. Just as God is calling us as a church to move forward in faith, I have no doubt in my mind that he is also calling you to move forward in faith. And just like I told you about with Bill, like God, if you ain't dead, God's not done, right? If you got breath in your body, God's still got purpose in your life. Bill, we're going to see you at Bible quiz matches for at least another 20 years. Yeah, because they'll be here. In Jesus' name. Maybe God's calling you to move forward in your family or your finances or your purpose or your calling. I don't know. Maybe you're at a place where you haven't seen the full picture, but you know what the next step is. Maybe you don't even know what the next step is. Maybe for you, you know, we want a step like this. Maybe God's just calling you to inch a toe up a little bit. You know, maybe that's your next step. But I want to remind you, for you, just as I reminded you for Lifehouse, that if God can part seas, if God can drop manna, if God can bring water from a rock, if God can knock down walls, shut the mouths of lions, if he can calm storms, if he can raise the dead, if he can multiply a sack lunch, open blind eyes, and just pour out his spirit on 120 ordinary people and grow the church from 120 to 3,000 in one single day, then I believe he can move in your life as well. I believe God can bring restoration to your marriage, that he can open doors for your career, that he can heal your body. I believe God can deliver deliver you in your mind. I believe God can restore relationships with your children that have been broken. I believe God can break generational curses or, you know, generational cycles in your life and in your family. I believe God can multiply your finances. I believe God can give you vision for your life. And I believe that he can lead you into a calling that he has for you to live the abundant life that Jesus died on the cross so that you could have. And the reason why I believe this is because time and time again, I've read about it and I've experienced it, that what is impossible with man is possible with God. And so, I'm doing something brand new we've never done before. I know it's not 2026 yet, but I'm excited for what the new year is going to bring. It better not be another pandemic. Even if it is, we're going to make it. We're moving forward in 2026. I'm almost done. Okay, sit down, Max. We're good. Don't leave me yet. Don't leave me yet. Hang on just a little bit longer. We're moving forward in 2026. By providence and sheer necessity, our word for 2025 was shift. I didn't choose that. It chose me. It chose us. So I'm getting ahead of the curve. I'm picking a word for 2026. I'm believing those things that are not yet as though they were. Our word for 2026 is forward. Surprise, surprise. Didn't see that coming, did you? We're moving forward in 2026. I don't know if we're going to take leaps forward. I don't know if we're going to take steps forward. I don't know if we're going to inch forward. But by God, in Jesus' name, I am not going back. I'm moving ahead. If you know the song, you know what I'm moving ahead. I am moving forward. We are moving forward as a church. And I believe over your life and your family and your relationships and in your relationship with the Lord that you are moving forward as well. And so like I said, I've never done this before. I've never intentionally picked a word for the year, but the Lord just kept dropping this in my heart. Do you know that this is the third time in 2025 that I have preached a message entitled Forward in Faith? Every single time was a different sermon, but the title was the same. And a few weeks ago, I lost all my Google Docs, and I didn't know what I preached. But then I looked at an Excel spreadsheet where it was recorded, and I had three different times, including today, Forward in Faith. So I think the Lord might be trying to say something to me. But I also wanted to pick a scripture. And I asked the Lord, okay, God, what scripture do we have for 2026? What resonates with moving forward? And this is what the Lord gave me. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. But forget.